Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
This Week in Chicago History with Anna DeVlantis. Now, Anna, I can't believe it's been 23 years since the E2 nightclub tragedy.
Yeah, I remember covering that story 23 years ago. It was just an extremely tragic event, Bob, in Chicago history. 21 people lost their lives in that South Loop nightclub, most of them crushed or asphyxiated when everyone just ran toward a blocked exit trying to escape the chaos that had occurred inside. Over 1,000 people, as you recall, Bob, were in that club. That was a major code violation. There were so many of them that ultimately led to this tragedy. The owners weren't even supposed to be operating a club on the second floor of that South Loop building on South Michigan Avenue. It was supposed to be unoccupied, but 1,000 people were there, and it took only one trigger for disaster to occur. February 17, 2003, a fight broke out. Security sprayed the room in that area with pepper spray to try to break it up, and people rushed toward the exits, all of them, like hundreds, just including one exit at the bottom of a staircase that was blocked. Hundreds of others pushed behind them, and that's what occurred. Some of the witnesses later, too, this was interesting, Bob, because this is 2 years after 9/11, and people had said they thought it was a terror attack. And I mean, there was just such panic in that club at that time. And there was an actual court order, though, in place saying that it was illegal to even occupy that club. So there were years and years of lawsuits and criminal charges for the owners and lots of calls to demolish it over the years. But it was a historic building, so that kind of got put on pause. However, just 2 years ago, the city finally issued that emergency order to finally demolish the building. Since then, though, every year, and I'd imagine this year, family and friends gather to remember the victims of that very tragic event.
Yeah, they talked about a memorial there at 2347 South Michigan Avenue. Maybe they'll do that one day. Back to February of 2013, and Skippy signed off, didn't he?
Our friend, the legendary Walter Jacobson, retired from the anchor desk. After 50 illustrious years in TV news, of course, he still worked with us at WGN until last year. But this week, 2013, Walter Jacobson co-anchored his final TV newscast half a century after he began on Chicago TV airwaves. And he did it alongside the equally legendary Bill Curtis, brought back for one last hurrah. Walter started his career, very storied career, in 1963 on TV, rising up through the ranks. He was a writer, a reporter, an investigative reporter, and the host of the very popular Perspective pieces, where he always editorialized about sticking up for the little guy and against, you know, powerful forces in the city. And people just loved Walter. Here he is. Great clip, Bob. You'll appreciate this. Walter being asked very candidly on WTTW right after he stepped down about leaving TV news. And he was asked, you know, take all the celebrating away and the talk about your career success and what you've achieved. Wouldn't you really just rather be back at the anchor desk? And here's what he said.
Walter with Carol Marine. Well, he came up with a book. He did commentary here on the radio. I still talk to him, and he still got many opinions, Anna.
Good to know, Bob.
let's talk about Gwendolyn Brooks. And I was very fortunate at Columbia College. She was on the faculty back in the day. How about that?
Wow. I remember she visited my school at one point in Chicago, and we just all were in awe of her. Chicago Poet Laureate, the state poet laureate, Gwendolyn Brooks, was this week in Chicago history, major moment for her and her incredible life story, Bob. The Smithsonian honored her with a bronze bust of her likeness. And she just was touched. Just a great moment. She's a Chicago treasure, started writing poetry at the age of six, first published in The Defender in her teens, and then went on to become the state's poet laureate, one of the most celebrated poets in the country, winning the Pulitzer Prize for poetry, the first African-American to ever win that prize. But she said one of the most meaningful moments in her life came this week, 1996, at the Smithsonian, no less, during a major stage appearance when that bronze bust was unveiled. By this point, she was battling terminal cancer, Bob, and she made powerful remarks about the sculpture that gave her peace, knowing there was some permanence to her life's work and her contributions to the world.
Gone but not gone, that's for sure. She loved getting out and reading poems everywhere, didn't she?
She was just incredible, remarkable how she wanted to share her love of poetry and the written word. She could have gone on and left Chicago, but she stayed here and she visited schools. She became a consultant for the Library of Congress and did so many other things, but really, really never really strayed that far from Chicago and sharing her love of poetry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lucky for us. More This Week in Chicago History with Anna coming up. Oh, yeah, it's Wilco. I remember on our old Fox Morning TV show, Marianne and I had Wilco on. This was in the 90s. They certainly mm-hmm. took off after that, didn't they?
Yeah, maybe it was the show. I don't know, but it was. They certainly had a wild ride and still going, Jeff Tweedy. February 13th, Bob, 2005, so many years after they were on the show, they won their first Grammy. In fact, they won their first and second Grammys then, a major milestone for a Chicago band that was just solidifying their unique sound as a commercial and critical success. Lead singer Jeff Tweedy hails from Belleville, Illinois, moved to Chicago as a young musician to try to be part of the city's thriving alternative music scene. He really wanted to make it, so he appeared in clubs like the Vic Theater, Empty Bottle, the Riviera, the Metro, all venues he's been back to in Wilco over the years many, many, many times, even after they became quite famous. Main recording studio is over in Lakeview, The Loft. And we have a clip here, Bob, for you. Jeff Tweedy talking about his early days as a musician and how his mom had originally encouraged him to pursue music, but then wondered why he wanted to keep going after finding some early success.
Good guy. He's come a long way since the Belleville, Illinois days.
Yeah, his mom used to work the door, he said, and he'd fill up the clubs in Belleville, and she thought that was big money. Of course, he's sold millions and millions of albums since, so good for him.
Mm-hmm. And this was the week back in 2016 that the Corn Cobs became a landmark here.
Yeah, you just kind of look at Marina City and his residence. We're like, wow, that's, sometimes the uniqueness of that building wears off because we've seen it so many times. But that corncob design, an iconic building in Chicago, known as much for its architectural significance, I think, Bob, for as many times it's appeared in dramatic scenes in movies. I mean, how many times have you seen the car chase end up at Marina City's parking garage or the car coming off the edge into the river? Mm-hmm. It's like Dark Knight, the Blues Brothers, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Even like Chicago PD and Med often feature Marina City prominently in their shows. But a decade ago, the city preserved its unique architecture forever, giving it landmark status this week, putting a mid-century modernist skyscraper on the list of protected buildings, which was kind of unusual. Interesting backstory to Marina City. It was developed to draw more people into the city at a time when there was suburban flight, nationwide, that is, not just Chicago. So it became this kind of bold experiment that was copied across the country, taking a live-work-play approach, a mixed-use building where you had office space, apartments, and entertainment options, like the concert venue that's now the House of Blues. You had a bowling alley and restaurants, a dry cleaner, a convenience store. And 2,500 people quickly signed up to live there. It was a very successful experiment, again, copied across the country after that point.
You could keep your boat downstairs, too. Very convenient.
Yeah, that's right. You can go down to the marina, too.
In 1973, we still talked about Sears as the store that had everything. And they really did, didn't they?
Yeah, the funny thing is many of us recall, Bob, I don't know if you remember this as your childhood, but the Sears Portrait Studios, maybe your mom and dad pulled you up, did your hair up and got you all dressed up nicely and took you down to Sears to take your photos. It was a big deal, and it launched in Chicago area stores inside Sears in 1973. And, it just became sort of a family tradition for so many of us. We'd go down there, and maybe you even remember what you posed next to. I was asking a friend of mine, do you remember what you posed next to? They're like giant crayons. And I was like, I think I did the white picket fence. And there was always some obnoxious obnoxiously large prop next to you, you know, like a teddy bear or a rubber ducky that you're supposed to hug, you know, kind of thing or something. There's just, you know, this really, you know, kind of fun tradition that families did. There was also the big numeral next to your, to represent your age. So sometimes people went at their birthdays or holidays and things like that. Just a fun thing that started really kind of taking the photo portrait thing to mainstream. Before that, it was kind of this thing you really, not many people did. So there's this great Chicago history account on X that I follow, and they have a throwback picture of a kid hugging a giant pack of Marlboro Red cigarettes at a Sears portrait studio. Not sure how that one came about, but the 70s were a different time. But we pulled this quick clip. I think you'll see this as it's pretty fun. It's a retro TV ad trying to draw families out to take their photos at the portrait studio at Sears.
Not only did my parents never take me to Sears, but I don't think they took a picture of me at all. Third kid, I think they figured, you know what? And I was hoping maybe even a police artist sketch, something, but no.
Bob, you had no toys and no pictures. That's right. Childhood. We're learning so much about you.
Is it any wonder I came out like this? More this week in Chicago history next Wednesday. Thank you, Anna.